Welcome to episode 402 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm joined by Dan Reamer.
Booyah!
Let me tell you something I just learned 15 seconds before we started recording. Everybody's tired.
We're all tired, yes.
Long day for you and for me yesterday. Gerald drove across the United States yesterday to be on the show.
Yep, about a quarter of the U.S.
The only part that matters.
Actually, that's not true. It's much less than a quarter, if you think about it.
Yeah, it's maybe an eighth.
Because, I mean, what is it? Coast to coast? It's like 2,500 miles or something? 2,800 miles?
You know how many miles it was, Gerald?
I don't know. That's what our producer's for. Look it up.
How many miles it was?
Good morning, Producer Gerald. Producer Gerald's back today, by the way. As you could tell, how we're all shitting on him.
We don't need him to look that up. He don't have to look that up. It's not going to matter. He drove way more than I did yesterday.
Yeah, he drove more than I did, too.
Almost 500 miles. I drove to the dump yesterday, which is about 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah, I drove down to the harbor yesterday and back, which is about 25 minutes, 12 miles.
I should back up and say recycling center, because I know when I say I live next to a dump, it sounds like I live next to a big old smelly dump. Yeah, it's just a recycling center that they just constantly switch out the things and take them to the landfill, so there's not actually anything stored here.
Mm-hmm.
It's convenient, but they're real picky about what they take.
Pain in the ass, ain't it?
Yeah, if you're trying to sneak something in, you got to put it in a bag. And
I'll tell you one of the things that is one of the, well, I know you're probably not familiar with it, but one of the greatest inventions since sliced bread is the can redemption centers.
Yeah,
that we have up here, because they recycle up here, so you pay a deposit. And if you recycle that can, you get that deposit back.
Right.
Well, it used to be you had to, like, go to a store. You had to, like, count them. This is way back when it started. You're talking late 80s. You had to count the bottles, take them to a store, tell them how many bottles you had, hope they trusted you, and then they would give you, like, whatever they owed you. Then that moved on to they would count them. Then it moved on to they had these receptacles where you had to put each one in individually, standing in the middle of a grocery store to get your money back.
Just in there with trash.
Putting your bottles in this thing, and it takes forever to constantly get stuck and gets full, and then you got to wait for the attendant to come. And now they just have these bottle redemption centers, bottle and can redemption centers. So you take them in, you dump them on a table, and there's this dude there that's, I swear, he's probably a poker dealer in his day job or his night job. And he's just shuffling them off where they need to go, keeping count. And then he tells you, okay, you got this much. And you're like, cool, I'll take that money. And then you leave. You don't have to do anything except for...
Does it do it by weight now?
No. 5 cents per can or bottle.
So he still counts them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at this place Gerald has pulled up.
Those are the redemption centers I'm talking, the old ones, where you had to stand there and feed it in one by one.
So, it's odd to me that it's still being counted by hand versus, you think they would have it worked out where they know what a can weighs, and when you throw them up there, it would give you.
Well, yeah, they could, but the thing is it's not everything. It's only certain products.
So someone has to like verify, like, hey, that
so it
look
basically
like
needs to verify that, or if it's like out of state. There was no deposit paid on that, so you don't get a deposit for that.
Yeah, see, that shit's complicated. I'm glad we don't do that.
I don't know. Sometimes it's nice to walk out with $40 because it takes you just have a pile of cans building up in your garage, and finally you're like, sure, I'll take. Okay, I better take these back so I can have room.
Yeah, the extra money like that's nice, but I don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, but I mean, I got to go 10 minutes down the road. Pour them out onto the table.
It, though, you gotta
get my money.
Keep it separate like that.
It's all good.
So when I say there's a recycling center down the road, I do cardboard and then just everything else. If I have metal or something, I'll do that. But I don't like sort my glass out, my paper. I don't do all that.
See, we have recycling. Our garbage pickup actually does a recycling pickup every other week.
Yeah, I don't pay for the pickup. That's so I'm forced to take it myself, which is good.
Well, it's part of our taxes, so.
Yeah. And then, so
it's
I made a recycling center run yesterday. That was the extent of my adventures. I pressure washed like all day yesterday, and my back hurt super bad this morning, so that was great. But I wanted to.
Is that why you were 5 minutes late?
No, my internet wasn't working this morning, so that might be touch and go for you guys.
All right. Gerald, you better have the mic at the ready.
But yesterday, was I worked. I also did all that outside. Oh, yes, I worked. I drove more than a 3/4 of a mile. But I worked, and then I pressure washed, and then I went to the dump, and then I cleaned up some other stuff. And I wanted to get everything that I wanted pressure washed this year done so I could put the pump saver stuff in my pressure washer and just kind of park it and clean it up for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because it's starting to get, we're in fall weather here already.
It was 81 here yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think it got that hot here yesterday. I think it stayed in like the 70s.
Yeah, it was 81 here yesterday.
And so I wanted to get all that done and completed so that I'm not, you know, in November trying to get that all winterized and ready. So I put pump saver stuff in there. I cleaned it all up really good. And then I kind of put a bag over everything, tied it all up, and parked it where it's going to sit in the garage for the winter. So I'm good there. And I did two patios, a building, and about a third of my driveway. That was the part that was kind of bad. And so everything looks good, but my back is not looking good.
Yep, that's how that kind of stuff works, man. It sucks. That's why pressure, I don't, you know.
Pressure washing's sneaky, though, because when you're doing it, you're like, this isn't, I'm not doing anything right now. I'm just holding
this thing.
Oh,
that's not true. I immediately start, and I'm like, oh, my whole body hurts.
I have
of course, I'm at the age where I've been down to tie my shoe and throw my neck out, so.
Well, I have the disc that you hook up to it where it does the circle versus just the little strip.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a nice stainless steel one that's on nice casters. And you really just are kind of like standing there basically pushing a thing on wheels. And so you don't feel like you're doing much. But then this morning, or even late last night, I was like, I think I broke my back.
I'm broken.
Yeah. I don't know that I can walk tomorrow.
I am a broken man.
But that thing's nice. I did. This is unrelated to that. I went to the Give Me a Five yesterday, the $5 store. I know I haven't talked about it in a while. Mm-hmm. I got some new casters for my gaming chair. Because I have a entry-level gaming chair, I would call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. It's everything I want. But it had these little plastic wheels on it that were super cheap.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them do.
And when I went to the Give Me a Five yesterday, I found a box of like the rollerblade wheels.
Oh.
That are made for an office chair. And I put them on the bottom. I think you could take that thing outside now.
Nice.
It rolls over everything.
You wouldn't need to, though. So you got one of those style chairs?
Yeah. So I have one of those style chairs. And I've been playing in it for, see those wheels up top? First ones, yeah. Those are basically what I have now. So I've been playing in it in almost a year now, and I love, it's the best thing I ever got to play in because I'm way more comfortable. I had to pick it up to put it on my rug. That's how shitty those plastic wheels were.
Oh, wow.
It wouldn't even go up on a rug. This new thing, it would go in the grass with these rollerblade wheels.
Yeah, I'm debating if I want a gaming chair. You know, I have my really comfortable recliner, which is nice, but it takes up so much space in my small room.
I think I said comfortable, too. What I meant is, like, supported. I'm not as comfortable, maybe, as I could be, but, like, I'm supported. It makes me sit straight up. It's got lumbar support. You know,
right.
I've got a pillow on
my head.
Well,
I would need one with a footstool because I like kicking my feet out.
Yeah, they make them that do. Mine does not have that. Again, I have a pretty entry-level one. But it's probably the best thing that I've bought for gaming in the last year or that I got for gaming in the last year. I just think it makes me way more, my posture's way better when I play. That's how the footstool works for most of them. It pulls out of the bottom like that.
Man, look at that bad boy. That's Spider-Man. I don't like, that's what I need right there in the massage chair. Boom. Done. Is that $9,000? I don't want to spend that kind of money on one.
I think mine was about $150. That one's that's a respawn, so that one's high.
Mm-hmm. I'll look into it some. I'm not, you know, like I said, I talked a little bit about needing to, before we got on, talked a little bit about needing to clean up my room. Part of that, I think, is going to be looking for a new chair at some point.
Yeah.
Just to have more room in here.
Yeah, so those wheels were a great purchase. Obviously, no resale value. Those were for me.
Right.
Also found two of my two Samsung refrigerator filters that were sealed that go to mine, and they were in a single pack. So I got two refrigerator filters for $5.
Nice.
Which would cost me like $70 to buy new. So overall, that was a good.
Good day.
Yeah, good day, except for I drove all day yesterday. I don't even know what I'm talking about because I drove the Give Me a Five too. So I went there. I went to work. I was a busy little bee yesterday. It's probably why my back hurts.
Hey, you. So I went to work, and then I went and pulled the boat out.
So the boat's out for the winter.
Boat's out for the winter.
No fun until late spring. When does it go back to the water?
For reasons that I won't speak of right now, it's probably not going in next year.
Okay.
It'll probably go in the year after.
When do you usually take the boat? Like when do people start bringing boats back?
Usually when do they start putting them back in the water?
Mm-hmm.
Usually the middle of May to have them ready for Memorial Day.
Gotcha.
Sometimes the end of April, depending on the weather.
Because you're still getting cold snaps through at that point.
It could still be pretty cold. The water is definitely cold.
Jared, what kind of chair do you play in? You guys are psychos. You both play in recliners. I'd be asleep.
I'm not.
I'm already tired every night. If I get in a comfy chair, I'm just asleep.
Yeah. No, I get my comfy. It's an old beat up recliner, but.
Yeah, but it's comfortable.
But see, what would be nice is if I get one of the gaming chairs. Because right now I sit in a hard ass, because my wife works from home, so she got to take my good chair.
Desk. So you could dual purpose it.
Right.
There's also something that feels like when I get the chair, because my chair just kind of sits over in the corner and I roll it to the middle of the floor when I'm getting ready to play. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a more serious setup than I used to use, like a fucking patio chair.
I'll tell you, he's got a sweet setup. I don't know if you've seen pictures, Ryan, but our buddy Marshall 205 got his man cave done.
Yeah, he's got an entire room that's basically built for it. He's also has a gaming chair. Oh, how far from the TV are you, Gerald? That's not too bad. I'd be asleep though if I played like that. There's no way. I don't trust me. I'm going to fall asleep now in the middle of the show, so there's no way I could stay awake in a recliner. I will tell you guys, I've been streaming still. Mm-hmm. The streak is no longer alive because PlayStation Network went down the other day.
It did.
And I tried everything and couldn't get it to work. And then at the last minute, I called an audible and decided to go to Xbox and stream over there. Well, my Xbox hadn't been on in months and months.
So it had the major updates.
It had to update, and I swear to you, the only game on there that did not have an update was Cuphead. And so I, at that point, was like, I'm streaming Cuphead tonight to prove a point. And then I jumped in Cuphead, and I was like, let me play through the first level as a refresher. And I was like, I'm not streaming Cuphead. The game is hard, and I'm bad at it, and I just don't. Right now, my blood pressure doesn't need that.
Yep, I did not stream this week. I've actually been spending this week. I didn't game this much as there's some things going on. But I am trying to work out. Believe it or not, I have actually been putting work into a streaming plan. I'm trying to come up with a schedule and determine how I want to do it, because I want to do something different that hasn't been done before that might be interesting. I don't want to just, you know, play and commentate. I feel like I need a hook. And I think I'm close to that. Still don't know if anyone else was going to care about the hook, but, so I'm still working on that. So I guess I'll let people know. I'll let you guys know when that goes. I'm still working out some kinks and how I want to get it done and if it's going to work and that kind of thing. So,
and my plan is still kind of the same. If I want to, we're 8 followers away from getting the affiliate status. and viewers per, we gotta do some work on the viewers per stream. But pretty much 8 followers away. When I get that, I think my plan is still to take a step back. Once we hit affiliate status, and then I'm probably going to get an Elgato and put my stream through the computer to make everything look better. I'm going to do it a piece at a time. I do eventually want to get a different mic. I eventually want to get a green screen, but my first step will be able to capture through the PC so that I can do some overlays and stuff like that. But, I need to hit that affiliate status before we do those things. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm planning to keep streaming most nights. I am going to start taking some nights off, I think, just out of exhaustion. I'm just tired.
Well, yeah, all that power washing, man.
Well, just that and playing every single night and not taking a night off. I mean, even the night I didn't stream, I was up trying to stream. I'll tell you how desperate I got. I decided I was going to stream from my phone and play Golf Blitz.
Oh.
And so I get Streamlabs on my phone. Everything's fine. It says it's recording. It's not live. I'm like, well, what the hell? So then I pivot to, I have The Last Campfire, which is Hello Games' new game that they put out. I have it on iPad because it's part of Apple Arcade. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is perfect. I want to play that anyway, so I'll just play it on there. And same thing over there where it says Streamlabs says it's recording, but it never goes live with Twitch. And I tried everything. I was so frustrated. So I ended up being up till 1:30 trying to make that work. And it didn't work. And so you're talking 30 nights straight of not going to bed before 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you need a break, dude. I get it.
So just worn down, really. But, you know, it's been good. It's been my choice. I've had fun with it. But I don't think that the pace I'm at now, I don't think is realistic long term.
Right.
So we'll see, though. But I still, you know, most nights, if you guys give me a follow, twitch.tv/GameStitch, or give us a follow, you'll see. You'll see that most nights I'll still be going live. Rocket League's it's gone free to play, so I've been playing a lot of that. Fall Guys, I think, is 8 days away from season 2 hitting, so I'll be back in that.
Yeah.
And then just balancing the regular stuff.
Yeah, I was actually going to jump in and play Rocket League one night this week, and then I had forgotten that for some reason it's the only game on the PlayStation Network that doesn't auto-update, and yeah, I haven't turned it on in like 7 months, so I was like, well, I got the update coming. Awesome. Going to bed.
You can see there, we played some PUBG. We played some Fall Guys. I finished Psychonauts, The Rhombus of the Ruin.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an odd clip of us winning and me carrying the team in PUBG, which never happens.
You carried the team?
Yeah, whenever we won the first time we played, only a friend of the show, Marshall205, twitch.tv/dirtdobber, if you want to watch him. He died. It was just the two of us in there, and I carried us, and we won.
Nice.
Yeah, and I suck at that game, so.
Nice.
But yeah, just playing a lot of everything still. Probably we'll do some more VR this week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Rocket League still as they're... They just started a new season. They have a new Rocket Pass going, and they have the Llama Rama event going, which is a Fortnite tie-in, where you can get the Bang Bus, which is what we call it, as a playable Rocket League car. And it's super tiny and adorable, and I need it. And so, just going through. It's also pretty – it's not easy to get, but it's not impossible to get either.
It just involves playing the game, essentially?
Sort of. So, you have to – You have to play an online match, and it gives you the flag, the llama flag.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to win a casual game, which gives you the topper. And then with the topper, you have to get 5 goals, assists, or saves, which is easy to do in doubles.
Mm-hmm. And
that then gives you the paint job. Paint job goes on the Octane. And then with that Octane, you have to get 5 wins in any playlist. So it's, again, doable when you think of Rumble and Hoops and everything. And then once those 5 wins are done, you get the wheels, and then you have to get MVP in any online match. And once that's done, you get the bus.
I never get MVP, so.
Yeah, but you could do it in doubles.
I never get MVP in doubles.
I mean, you could get, you could force that though. If that's the thing that's holding you up, you could do that. You get in doubles with somebody you know, you get a goal, yeah, and then you just let them hang back.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, so it's doable. But it's definitely, they have changed everything about that game and the way that it works.
I don't know. It's possible I can't get anything in that anymore because they haven't played it in 8 months.
Yeah, you could do those other things. But yeah, it's interesting. I like what they've done with it since they've gone free to play.
And I think I'll get in there and check it out.
Is it? Did I put it in the news? Are we talking about Rocket League again later?
I don't think so. Maybe.
Let me check. No, we are. Yeah, so I'll save the rest. But yeah, it's been nice to get back in there and start playing it on the regular again. I love that game. And it's kind of going free to play has kind of renewed that a little bit for me.
Has it? Is there a lot of, I guess, maybe unskilled players, not quite as skilled players in there?
There must be because of the way the numbers look now, but damn if I can get them.
Well, it's probably still based off of your level.
So they do this thing with this last season. They actually give you a banner that says established whenever you started playing. So it's pretty neat now because pretty much everyone equipped those.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of see when people started now.
Ah.
Which is neat. So when you get drugged by somebody who's established 2019, you're like, well, that sucks. You know, it's kind of neat. There's the bus, but it's so tiny. It's like the size of the van. One would think it would be the size of Sweet Tooth, but it's like the size of the Merc. It's little.
Really?
But it's just a full-ass bus. Llama Rama is also a fun name for an event.
It is. Okay, so that was your week. My week was, like I said, I actually did much more planning this week than I did actual gaming, working on stuff. I did have a pretty horrible VR experience.
I don't even know about this.
You don't? No. So I started up Vader Immortal, episode 2. I played it for roughly 40 minutes or so, probably 40, 45 minutes. So based on that, what I'm guessing it was almost all of episode 2, what you've told me. And so I go to turn a corner, you know, I did a lot of climbing in this, learned my force powers, pretty cool, having fun with it. I'm like, this is neat. All of a sudden, beep, blue screen.
Really?
Hold on, something went wrong, and you get this stupid little bar. So I'm like, fuck. Okay, problem's been resolved. Well, let me see if I can get back in where I was. Nope. Got to start all the way at the beginning of episode 2. So I'm like, I don't want to do this right now. Because remember I said the lengths are like perfect for... there it is.
That's the error you got right there?
An error has occurred. I don't know if that's the error code, but says.
It didn't tell you anything specific. It just hard crashed on you.
Yes. And none of the saves went through, so I have to start over again. I'm like, I don't want to fucking get into this right now. I'm pissed off. Now I got to play through this again.
Will it keep you from playing through it now?
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah.
Because I do want to finish it. But, man, it was just not the day that it needed to happen.
It also takes the wind out of your sails too,
big time.
Because you're like, when I finish today, I'll be through episode 2, and then I can complete the story, and I saw this thing through, and now you're like, now I'm right back to where I was. Yeah, I already know what's gonna happen.
Now I'm back to completing episode 1.
The pacing's fucked up, right? So that does suck.
And now I basically have to play through an entire story of me knowing what's gonna happen.
Right, and the story is what draws the episode length out. So the one thing that normally they could hide it with you because you're paying attention to the story, they can't. You're just going to be like 45 minutes of okay, okay, yeah, okay, okay.
I'll just be spamming buttons. Come on, one of these skips, right? One of them has to. No, now, it doesn't. Come on, one of them skips. I'm going to, yeah, so.
I do have a controversial suggestion for you.
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
You could just play episode 3. So you could YouTube episode 2 to pick up for probably the 2 minutes that you didn't get to see.
Right, yeah, I didn't.
And then you could go, because they are separate games, you could go into episode 3.
Yeah, but what are those fuckers going to think when they're looking at my trophies and they're like, what the fuck? This guy got finished episode 1 and 3. What an idiot.
It's a little quick and dirty, but you could always go back to episode 2 once you complete it without it screwing up the pacing.
Well, it's not the I don't even know that it's a pacing that's screwed up. I can't play that. I understand. It's a good suggestion. I can't do it personally. It's not the way I work. You know, I can't jump in and watch an episode 3 of something if I haven't watched episode 2.
But you watched episode 2. It's just that...
I didn't see the very end. And that's where I know how writing works. That's where the important things for the next episode start.
If your options are to never play episode 3 because episode 2 screwed up, or to skip the end of 2 and go to 3, you should go to 3 and see it.
I probably should, but right now I'm at not doing that.
you should have done to start with. You should have played them in 3-2-1 order.
Because you know what? I haven't. Well, here's the thing. I hadn't played VR in so long. I'd finally gotten back in it for Vader. Loved the first part. I'm like, this is cool. This is kind of making me like VR again. Then I play episode 2. I'm having a ball with it. I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed VR.
Time of your life, right?
Crash, shit the bed, blow up your house. Okay. Fuck VR.
I've been that way with games before when they crash. I'm like, well, I'll just never play this again. It's not the game's fault, but it is.
Yeah, I'm sure I will end up going back to it. This wasn't the week.
Yeah.
For me to make that step. And then I played a little bit more. I played a couple more missions of Re-Reckoning. But that's really all I did. I downloaded some stuff. Like I said, it's been a planning week. I'm trying to figure out the streaming thing, how I want to do it. That's really where my head's at.
Are you still good to go for Little Hope?
Yeah, I'll still do Little Hope with you.
Yeah, I'm excited about playing that, and I want to stream that.
And I know I don't usually stay up late, but I will for that.
The cool thing, because you're streaming twitch.tv/shirtlessdan75, because you're streaming and then I'm streaming, you should be able to see both perspectives of us play that together.
Yeah.
Which will be neat for once I finish, I think I'll probably go back and watch your stream to see what you saw.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
And it's going to be fun playing it without the other one. It's like we did before, streaming it without knowing what the other one really is talking about.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's going to be like, whoa. You know, what did he whoa about? You can go back and watch and be like, oh, well, yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
I'd go whoa.
Shirtless Dan 75.
Yes.
There's some other shirtless Dan who had a shirt on.
I got like Green Arrow, so.
Well, that was just a dude with a beard. There he is.
There he is.
So, I'm excited about that. That comes out October 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I am ready for that.
Fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Yep.
All right. We should probably get into it, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
There's not a lot, but there's kind of a lot.
I would agree with that. There's a couple different ways to support us. You can head over to patreon.com/GameStitch. You can support us financially. If you don't have any money, listening to the podcast is enough. Just let your friends and family know about us. Also, because we're trying to stream more, if you could give us a follow at ShirtlessDan75 and at GameStitch over there. Those would be huge right now. And kind of helping keeping us motivated there and moving in the right direction. I know some of you have come over from the show and given us a follow, and we appreciate that. So if you could just keep doing that, that would be great. Tell your friends and family about that as well. We're only 8 away on our main channel. So if you could do that for us, that would be great.
Yeah, and I think I'm only like 46 away. So
yeah. Well, they'll there will eventually be a easier solution for us to both stream to GameStitch.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Yeah, because I think, so once I get an Elgato, I will actually be streaming from my PC and not from the PS4 anymore.
So I should be able to be on Twitch.
Would clear that up to where you could use that, yep.
Yeah.
So just bear with us as we keep them separate right now. It's just a necessity. But it won't be long until everything makes sense and it's all in one place.
Yeah, so.
So that's all right. Where we're at. So let's jump into the news. In what is the biggest story in entertainment this week, I would almost say.
Yeah.
Are places that have no business talking about this reporting this story. But Microsoft acquires ZeniMax Media. So a lot of places I see the headline that Microsoft acquires Bethesda, but it's so much bigger than that.
Yes, it is.
They announced that they purchased ZeniMax Media for $7.5 billion.
Just listen real quick. This is only a partial list of basically what Microsoft bought. This is just games. And this is like a very small list of what they bought. Dishonored franchise, Wolfenstein franchise, Elder Scrolls franchise, Fallout franchise, Doom franchise, Prey, The Evil Within, and the upcoming Starfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a...
Oh my God.
So ZeniMax is the parent studio, or the parent company of Bethesda Softworks, which was the previous umbrella for Bethesda Game Studios, which you know from Fallout and Elder Scrolls. Id Software, which probably most known right now for Doom.
Rage,
yeah. And then you have ZeniMax Online, which I believe handles the Elder Scrolls Online stuff. Arcane, which you said they take care of the Dishonored franchise. Yeah. And I think, are they the ones working on
Starfield?
Deathloop?
I think so.
I don't know who makes Deathloop. Maybe Machine Games, who is also part of them, is making Deathloop. I don't know. Can you check real quick who makes that? And then you have Tango Gameworks, which is responsible for the Evil Within series. And then you have Alpha Dog and Roundhouse Studios. I'm not familiar with what either one of those make.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of either of those.
Arcane is making Deathloop.
Arcane's making Deathloop.
Also related to Deathloop, there obviously were exclusives with Deathloop. It was a PS4 timed exclusive. It still will be. Mm-hmm. So they're going to honor all previous arrangements. I think they also have one for Tokyo Ghostwire. Is that being made by Tango Works, I think?
Yes, but that was also an exclusive or what timed exclusive, so they're still on board for that one, too.
So there's a lot to unpack here. So Microsoft bought Bethesda and Company. Bethesda, more than just a dev, it's also a publisher. There's a lot of moving parts here. Microsoft says that for the most part, Bethesda will operate separately, or ZeniMax will operate separately, independently. Meaning they're allowed to keep their structure and everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how many people, I don't know if Pete Hines or Todd Howard will stay long term. Todd Howard seems to have a very good relationship with Xbox. I read a super kick-ass story about him this week. And I don't know if you saw this or not. When he got his Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I don't think I did.
Okay, so when he got his Lifetime Achievement Award, during his speech, he said, I wonder how many achievement points this is worth. As a joke. And then after, I guess, went to an after party, and some of his friends from Microsoft were kind of joking about it and stuff like that. Well, a couple weeks go by, and he gets a code, and when he types it in, it's for a game that is locked to his system, and when you run the game, all it did was pop a single trophy that's called Lifetime.
Nice.
And so he is the only person, it's worth 1,000 points, he is the only person across all of Xbox Live that has that achievement. And I was like, that's a cool story.
Yeah, it is.
for Xbox and for Todd Howard and for that's for gaming. That's just a neat, fun story. So it seems like he already had a good relationship with those guys, as most people in this industry, I think, have a good relationship with each other.
Right.
But yeah, this is a huge deal. Now, obviously, we don't know what'll happen. Microsoft has already got out front and talked about the inclusion of these titles in Game Pass. But you would have to assume with what's already going on with all the publishers they've already purchased that you won't see these games disappear. So there may be exclusives for Xbox down the road, but I think everything that's in planning now that you know about will still hit PlayStation and Switch where it makes sense.
Well, not just that. I think this one here is really the biggest, I think, indicator of Microsoft's long-term game plan. I think you're going to see Microsoft get more into selling the rights of their studios more so than creating their own games. I think Microsoft is kind of moving away from the exclusive game aspect of things, because I think they've proven that they have a couple of them, but even those, you know, Halo's about the only one that people still come full force for. Even Gears 5 didn't do as well as Microsoft had hoped. Mm-hmm. And it always sold well in the past. So I think this is really indicative of Microsoft's future. I think buying up these studios and selling, hey, Sony, you want to have, you know, Starfield or Elder Scrolls 6 on your system? Cool. Cough it up. I think you're going to see more of those types of things happening. Obviously, not right in the beginning. That's something that's going to happen over time. I think these kind of things fit very well. These large purchases of these large studios fit very well into their total infrastructure of, I think, what they want to do, where they want to go.
So my thoughts on it are, that puts their studio count, I believe, at 23. And that's a lot of studios to operate with a very high operating budget for almost all of them.
Right.
Now, Game Pass is great, and obviously the acquisition of these developers probably helps the long-term success of Game Pass. But in order to recoup the money that they've spent and that they'll continue to spend for daily operations, I think selling on the other systems is imperative.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, it's going to happen.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to sell on theirs because they don't want you to buy, Starfield on Xbox. They want you to subscribe to Game Pass.
Exactly.
So they're going to rely on it selling 10 million copies on PlayStation as well,
yep,
and PC to help. I mean, $7.5 billion, first off, this was a cash transaction. So it's not as if Microsoft can't afford this. This is a drop in the bucket for them. But when you look at operating costs for 23 studios, I mean, Game Pass does do well from what you read, but there's probably a huge cost associated with keeping it running, acquiring new games, paying for those games, buying up studios, not having any exclusives come out for 2 years, but operate those studios. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. And there's no way that there's too much of a gap between the operating costs for what they own compared to what they're bringing in from Game Pass. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that that's a huge money gap. But part of their, like I said, part of their infrastructure, well, it's like you said too, part of their plan for the future is to integrate everything they do that Microsoft does, I think, into other avenues.
Yeah.
Such as Epic or Steam or Stadia or, PlayStation, whatever they're going to do it on. I think that is really where their future is going, is not so much in the development aspect, but the publishing aspect. We own this. You want it? Cool, pay us.
It'll be super interesting to see. This is, in my estimation, this is probably the second most expensive studio acquisition they could have made. Behind probably Take Two, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that anyone is more expensive than Take Two. I'll be honest with you, Take Two's probably double that price because they print money.
Yeah, they do.
So this is probably, this probably costs more than Ubisoft. I mean,
I would imagine so, yeah.
Those two are probably close, but I mean, for some perspective, $7.5 billion, Disney paid $4 billion for Star Wars.
Right.
If you want to stick with gaming, right. Facebook paid $2 billion for Oculus. $7.5 billion, while a drop in the bucket for Microsoft, is an extraordinary amount of money to spend.
Yeah, now, particularly, yeah.
You know, Naughty Dog is probably worth more than that as one studio, but they're not for sale because they're owned by Sony. So right. When you get out there and look at what could be purchased, I would imagine only Take Two, which is going to give you the obviously the 2K developers as well as Rockstar, which is what you're paying for. It's probably $15 billion.
But I think it's I really think it's a good idea by Microsoft. Essentially what Microsoft's doing with all these purchases, and if their plan goes the way I think it is and I think you think it is, they've basically given themselves a safety net.
Do you think could you ever see, like, I can't even in my head fathom Sony buying.
Yeah, no.
Like, if the story came out that Sony was buying Bethesda, like, I wouldn't even believe that. Like, I don't think they have $7.5 billion to spend on it.
Right.
But also, like, Sony has gone the opposite direction in paring down their studios to the ones who just make good games.
Right.
And not operating on a budget, but being efficient with its studios, where Microsoft has gone the opposite direction of filling it up, and then I assume at some point they'll have to dwindle those down, but you know, right now they're still filling the tank up. So
yeah, and in the meantime, they need to, you know, Sony is very. I think the biggest difference that you're seeing right now between Sony and Microsoft is Sony is for game to console, they develop from the beginning. But because they have so much time and resources tied up in the development aspect of things, in order for them to be good, there's only so many they can be working on at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Microsoft's gone the opposite route. I think they're going with literally selling their product.
I think the problem with that is, the exclusives that did come out seem to get subpar critic and user reviews for most everything right. that's come out as of late for Microsoft. I think that can't continue. If they're going to continue to buy studios, because they are going to rely on sales from other consoles, like they're going to rely on.
Right.
You know, if Starfield comes out and that's a bad example because they just bought them. If Crackdown 4 comes out and is shitty, they're not going to be able to rely, if in the future they put this out multi-platform, they're not going to be able to rely on you buying that, because as a PlayStation user, you're way less impressed with that because you have really good first-party games. And so to make that big jump over to the other consoles and to sell on Switch and PlayStation, I don't think they can rely on, well, I'm stuck on Xbox and it's part of Game Pass.
Right. I'm not sure that Microsoft's going to quite go the that same route as far as like exclusivity goes. You know, we talk about, you know, Crackdown, which is an exclusive. Halo is an exclusive. Gears 5 is an exclusive. I don't know. Even though Microsoft owns Bethesda, I feel like they're more under an umbrella than under a roof.
Yeah, so maybe I misspoke. I don't think any of their games will be exclusive going forward. What I'm saying is they can't be subpar and not be exclusive, because it won't be worth it, because people play those games because they're on Game Pass. No one's
right.
going
okay.
to play Crackdown on PS5 because it wasn't good.
I got what you're saying.
So what I'm saying is with 23 studios, they have to be more careful about the games they put out and more strategic about the games they put out if they're going to do what I assume, which is multi-platform on pretty much everything they have, minus your Halos and maybe Gears. But they have to be good or no one's going to care. Cause
well, I think you're going to see Microsoft do is, I think Microsoft has learned some lessons, you know, but when it came to the first Xbox and, you know, the Xbox One, Microsoft was balls deep in everything that was going on with that. I think you're going to see Microsoft really step away and concentrate on the means of delivery, the infrastructure, and really leave some of these bigger places that they bought alone, particularly if they've already shown success.
But who i.e. has
Elder Scrolls in that?
Yeah, but who has besides Bethesda? Like besides those umbrella, when I say Bethesda, I mean everybody mm-hmm. over there. Like who of the Microsoft studios that they already own, can they just let do their thing because those games are not coming out and meeting the expectations of people?
Yeah, I don't know how involved Microsoft was in the, I mean, that's, we won't know until they come out. Yeah. I don't know how involved Microsoft was with Gears 5, Halo, Sea of Thieves, Forza. I don't know, you know, Microsoft themselves, how involved they were. Because that was a point in their plan, I think, when exclusivity was important. I feel like it really isn't to them anymore.
Yeah.
Their major concerns when it comes to exclusivity is the infrastructure, and I think that's where they're concentrating.
When I close my eyes and I think about the future of Microsoft, I think the key is, I do think they keep their Halos and their Gears, but I think everything else slowly migrates over to the other consoles. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, the big flaw that I see in Microsoft's plan, I think it's a good plan, but the big flaw I see is, in order for this to work, those games have to be good. Because again, on Xbox, you're going to play Crackdown because you have nothing else to play. But if you're choosing between The Last of Us or Uncharted or God of War or, you know, countless other titles and mm-hmm. and Crackdown, you're not going to play it.
No, you're right.
And there's a lot more. They're going to have to put an emphasis on quality.
Yeah.
And with 23 studios, I don't know how difficult that'll be. But that's what, if I close my eyes, that's what I think about the future of Microsoft. That's the one maybe pitfall I see.
Well, that's why I think it's important that Microsoft concentrates on, like I said, the means of delivery and not the product. All they have to do is sit back and let Bethesda make their Elder Scrolls 5 and then sit back and sell it.
So Bethesda's screwed up lately, but I think for the most part you can trust them. I'm talking less about this and more about the overall Microsoft umbrella, because I think if there are studios you can trust, it's probably the ones they can trust the most are the ones they just bought.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And so that's, again, when you're talking, we could be 5 years from seeing Starfield or Elder Scrolls. Like, you need something to start making money now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much putting Skyrim on.
I'll tell you some really big exciting news is that now Obsidian and Bethesda all fall under the same umbrella.
Oh my God. Now you sound like everybody else on the internet. New Vegas 2's happening.
New Vegas 2?
Oh my goodness. But let us know what you think of this whole thing. Remember, Twitter, you can get us at @game_stitch or podcast@gamestitch.com if you want to email us because you're old school.
I do want to say this. This acquisition alone did bring me a little closer to getting an Xbox Series X.
Yeah. This acquisition didn't do anything for me, but I also think that I kind of want a Series S anyway. So it didn't help me or bother me. Gerald had some strong emotions about it when it got announced. Yeah, boycott. He's still saying it.
Why is he still? Why are you boycotting, Gerald?
He doesn't like this. So we got to move on because of where we are time wise. Yeah. But I will say. Yeah. I do think Microsoft and Sony and Ubisoft and EA owning all the developers is a bad thing in general. Mm-hmm. I think the more they get umbrellaed under any company is worse for video games in general. So while I do think this is a smart move for Microsoft, the part of me inside, the personal part of me, does not like this, and it wouldn't like it no matter who bought them.
And if you're not into that, the way to go is look up your indie stuff. We've talked about it countless times, and there's some good stuff out there.
Yeah, and I think that indies are amazing, but there are times you want to be able to play triple A's, and I don't think you all want them coming out of the same place.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, so from that standpoint, I don't love this, but I do think it's smart for Microsoft. So Animal Crossing is getting a new free autumn update. Summer is over and fall is falling in the northern hemisphere. Say fall is falling? That's a terrible. I don't like that at all.
It is.
Which means it's time for Animal Crossing New Horizon to bring an autumn update. The free update is coming next week, September 30th, when you're listening to this. And we'll add a spooky Halloween-themed costumes and decorations, among other items. You'll be able to buy your costume, like a mage's dress, from the Able Sisters, and stock up on candy from Nook's Cranny throughout October. You will trade your Nook Miles for body paint designs and colored eye contacts. Then on Halloween night, all your Animal Crossing friends will dress up, and you'll be able to give them candy during the party based on what they're wearing, and you can get special rewards for that. The Creepy Crawly Holiday is the main attraction, but the update will also add other fall-themed items. You can plant pumpkins after buying your first starter seeds, and then those pumpkins will actually make pumpkins, and then there's special DIY recipes for the pumpkins, so that's pretty cool, too. Animal Crossing still chugging along. I have started playing Animal Crossing again after taking a short hiatus, but I have not been back to playing every day. I'm playing every 2 or 3 days now.
Hmm.
Which I feel like is a good spot for me as where I'm currently at. I don't think playing every day again is reasonable, but I'm still happy to get back into that world every time I do. And I'm actually pretty jazzed up about the fall update. Not so excited that I think fall is falling is a good way to write that up.
That is not a good way to put it at all. Yeah, I mean, this is super cool. And I keep saying I need to get back into it, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that doesn't mean I won't, but... I don't know.
I don't know that I ever addressed this. So to say that I have controller drift is an understatement on my Joy-Con.
You talked about it last week.
Okay. So part of me not playing my Switch is the Switch is very unplayable in any mode but TV mode right now because I have to use a pro controller. Mm-hmm. And I know I can set it on a table in front of me, but I'm not a psychopath. And playing on that tiny screen 5 feet away from me doesn't seem good. It's really limited the way that I enjoy my Switch. I have just got to buy some controllers, and I think the Joy-Con are finally kind of showing up back in stock now. So,
mm-hmm.
I've seen them.
I'll tell you, anyway.
I had a crazy moment yesterday where I got online and the Animal Crossing Switch bundle is back in stock.
Yes, it is. The New Horizons bundle. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I just buy one of those because Joy-Cons are $80. So why not buy a $300 system, you know?
Right, yeah, that seems like decent math.
Yeah, but I was able to overcome that.
Were you? You were able to see the error of the ways?
It took
a minute.
It took a minute. I added it to my cart. let's keep rolling. Rocket League passes 1 million concurrent players after its free-to-play Switch, which is super cool. It's the first time in history that they've ever hit a million concurrent.
Mm-hmm.
Co-studio head Corey Davis revealed the news, posting the screenshot from in-game that actually showed how many people were playing. Here's where it gets crazy. According to Dot Esports, Rocket League's previous peak concurrent was 120,000. For some context.
Wow. Well, that's a big jump.
On Steam alone, Rocket League reached more than 129,000 players. On September 24th, according to Steam's publicly available data, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo do not typically share that kind of information. But again, because it has an in-game counter, you are able to see kind of everything together. But again, they switched to free-to-play. They have Season 1 going. They have the Llama-Rama event going. They have the new Rocket Pass. I mean, they have everything going all at once. And as soon as the... Rama stuff ends, we're going to roll into October, and they always have the Halloween event. I mean, this is very planned out. This time frame is not an accident. Rocket League is going to be hot and heavy. I don't like that blue and yellow. Gerald's showing us some blue and yellow Joy-Con.
Well, the Fortnite one, yeah, I don't like it either.
Yeah. I like the blue. It's a different blue than what I have, I think. And I don't hate that yellow either, if I'm being honest, but I don't like them together. Very Golden State, and I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah. I need a yellow and a green.
Green comes with orange. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you go to Joy-Con colors? I like the, have you seen the neon yellow? I like those. I really like the Animal Crossing. They're like some kind of pastel colors. Now, orange comes with pink. Green comes with a... Orange comes with purple. Green comes with pink.
Yeah, I need very, green and yellow.
Very watermelon.
Green arrow colors.
The Mario and Luigi ones are cool too, but it'll make the console look really kiddie when it's all put together. I want my Switch to look like a badass grown man Switch, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's a black and silver.
Yeah, with flames on it. Maybe skull on the back.
A skull, that's right. So, a skull and a rattlesnake.
Yeah, yeah, those are cool.
Those are great.
Shout out to Psyonix, Rocket League, Epic. I was very much dreading the Epic acquisition. I think for the most part, it's been pretty good, if I'm being totally honest.
Like I said, hopefully I'll be able to get in there and check it out some.
Okay. The next thing I'm going to talk about is something I did not think that we'd be talking about today or ever. But Amazon has launched its own cloud gaming service that is called Luna. And let me just tell you that, so this shocked me. First off, Amazon had its event, which we'll talk about. They announced Luna. I did not expect them to launch a competitor to Stadia. I did not expect me to have such strong feelings about what this means for Stadia or what this means for Amazon. But Stadia did not launch properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has hurt them. And I also think their current model on how they... Stadia is expensive. You mm-hmm. have to have the... You don't have to, but if you're playing with a controller, you have to pay for Stadia Pro. You don't have to, but you should. And then you have to buy your games.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Stadia is a solution for playing anywhere without having to update and do those things. It's not a cheap solution. It's maybe not even a convenient solution. And
what does Luna do?
A lot of the same things, but with some differences. So Luna Plus is a subscription service that gives you access to a library of games for a subscription price. So think Game Pass and Stadia sort of having a baby. Not as substantial as Game Pass, though. So it'll include a number of games like Resident Evil 7, Control, A Plague's Tale Innocence, among others. And it'll cost $6 a month, so I think the price point is good. Now, they're very careful to say that is an introductory price.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume in time that price will go up. But for that, for your $6, you'll also be able to play at 4K 60 frames per second, which is bullshit when anyone says that. And you can play on two devices at the same time with Luna Plus. Amazon also announced a partnership with Ubisoft to offer its own game streaming channel through Luna. This is where I think they're smart. Because, Dan, if you love Ubisoft, you can get Luna Plus, but then you can also pay for the Ubisoft channel and have all of Ubisoft's content.
Yeah.
This is where I think they out-Googled Google. And being crafty in how this works. Because they don't have to give you everyone's content, but I can subscribe to the content I care about.
Right.
You know, and Microsoft, you just saw the addition to EA Play now being a part of Game Pass. Microsoft gets it. It appears that while Amazon hasn't executed on it, it appears they get it. Stadia is still, I think, missing the mark in how I get my games and that I still have to buy them.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think that right there is the key. Also, it's important to note, all you need is the controller for $50 in the subscription.
Yeah, you can play pretty much anywhere, I think, except for Android.
Which is going to be coming to.
Correct, which is coming soon. Now, I will tell you, when I initially saw this controller, the Luna controller, I thought, that's just a Stadia controller. The more that I've studied it, it actually is less like a Stadia controller and almost identical to a Nintendo Pro controller.
To a Pro, yep.
Like, almost identical.
Yep.
All these controllers pretty well look the same, and I think the controller will be fine. Obviously, the server power of Google is unrivaled, but if it was going to be Anyone that was close, it would probably be Amazon and their AWS servers, and that's what it's using. It's based off its AWS gaming servers that already exist. And this is interesting to me. Like, to me, this whole cloud thing is getting crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of Microsoft, you're like, oh, well, that's a big player in it. But let me tell you who's a bigger player in it is the fact that you have Google money and Amazon money behind it now. Like cloud gaming is going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Too much money behind it. Yeah.
You know, we talked about it probably years ago. What you were going to see was a bunch of individualized streaming services.
Yep.
And so here we are.
Right now, you can sign up. Oh, I hit puberty in the middle of that. Right now, you can sign up for Luna's early access. They are doing it at random. It is not a first come, first serve, but you can head over to Amazon. You can click on the Luna link and you can sign up to be a part of it. They ask you a couple questions like, how do you currently game? What your internet connection is, and what consoles you currently have. It is smaller than a Pro Controller, according to this mock-up, and I don't know how they know that.
I can't see it being that small.
It looks very tiny.
That's fucking tiny.
The early access library for Luna Plus is hopefully a streamlined version of what the major service will look like, but as part of that, you see Resident Evil 7, Control, Panzer Dragoon, A Plague's Tale Innocent, The Surge 2, Yooka-Laylee, and The Impossible Lair. Iconoclast, Grid, Abzu, and Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. They do say that they will give everybody a heads up, a 30-day notice when early access is ending and it is going into full prime time. So I will just tell you, I signed up for the early access. Don't know if I'll get it, but I'm on board for this. I'll spend the $50 and see if this is a good solution. I've been very pro Stadia. I am still very pro Stadia. I think Stadia does have its pricing model wrong. I'm not going to get this and sell my Stadia, but I am going to give this a try if selected.
I'm thinking about this one. I'm thinking about signing up for early access for this one and giving it a try.
I'll tell you, the
channels.
The
only problem is everything. I'd have to run it on nothing but my computer, but because my TV is a... I have one smart TV and it's an Android, or a Google TV, so...
Yeah. I find the channel idea to be very compelling.
Yes.
Like, the Ubisoft channel is very compelling to me. I don't know how much it's going to cost. I don't know all those things, but like, if there's a Codemasters channels and I'm a racing guy,
right,
to spend $3 a month to have all of Codemasters, like, I find that model to be very pleasing to the way that I want to play games. Because here's where they're smart, is you want to play one game, right? And you're going to subscribe to someone's channel and probably never cancel it to play one game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a win for everybody. So I'm very interested in this. So the controller connects directly to the cloud. All that works like Stadia. They make a lot of lofty promises like Stadia does. I will tell you, Stadia is not perfect. I've never said that it's perfect. It works really well most of the time that I use it. I assume this will be the same. That controller is not as small as I made it in that picture. That's a normal controller.
Yeah, it's not.
But this may be where I finally play Control also, which I'm excited about. I'll probably get one of these whenever available. If I don't get early access, I'll probably still get it down the road.
So. I probably will too, just to try it.
And that leads us into the first time that we're going to just tell you, we're just going to talk about smart home stuff.
We have an actual news story.
I call this Talking Smart. I don't know if that's what we'll call it going forward, but we're just going to talk about smart home stuff in the news as if that's what we want to do, because that is what we want to do, or I'm pretty sure that's what we want to do. It's what I want to do for sure.
I want to do it.
Yeah.
I think, so there it is. Before we get started, I think Producer Gerald is actually signing up for the early access right now.
Are you signing up or are you just showing the form?
I told you he was signing up.
Yeah, you can't trust him. They'll just get it and sell it like he did Stadia.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So we're going to talk about smart stuff. So Luna was part of Amazon's fall event, mm-hmm. and where they announced tons of different things. And most of them kind of tie into smart home devices. And so I thought we would run down this list really quick, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you really about any of these other than right before we started recording today. you know, and making sure that you're good with having this on here. But so let's start with, obviously, I think the biggest at a glance change. Amazon has redesigned the Echo and the Echo Dot.
Oh my God, have they?
They're a ball.
Now it's a ball.
It's a they're both balls with the bottoms cut off, so it sits flat.
Now I will say this about them: if you, obviously, listeners, you can't see the pictures. They are very aesthetically pleasing to look at by themselves. The new ones. I don't know how they're going to look sitting on an end table or a nightstand or.
Well, so
I
that
feel
looks,
like they might look a little funky.
What? So scroll back to that picture you were just looking at. Do you not think it looks good right there on the bed?
It does. I also know that my bedroom is not decorated anything like that.
Okay. That's fair. that's very much a stage shot that it's in. I think these look classy. If you so if you've ever seen a Google Home Mini, if you just took it and pulled the bottom and top up.
Yep.
Into a ball, and you popped it out a little bit more. These really give me the Google Home vibes in the way that they look, even though they're a ball, the way the cloth is and the bottom is plastic. Like, it just gives me that vibe.
Well, they definitely give a very futuristic look. They look more futuristic. But like I said, I don't know if they're going to look normal just, you know, sitting on an end table or on a stand by your door or something like that. You know, that these ones are a lot harder to hide than the Mini and the Echo Dot.
Yeah. And so I think you hit the point on the head for what they don't want you to hide them anymore. You know, I think that's where Amazon is with the Echo is if you look at the first generation Echo and the first generation Dots and even the second and third, like, I think the idea was still like put them in a corner somewhere out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, put them in front of everything.
You could be right. You're probably right. I can see that.
So quickly, one thing I do think that they got right is the pricing. The new Echo will be $99.99. It does have Zigbee, so you can use it as your smart home hub for that price. And they have totally retooled the way the speaker setup works. And so it does have a 3-inch woofer and dual firing tweeters inside there. So they do say that Dolby Atmos processor is on board, and you can do other stuff. It does support Bluetooth as well. $99.99 for that one again. And then they also showed off their new Dots, which look just like their Echoes. They are also balls.
They're just smaller, I believe.
Yep. These do not have the Zigbee technology, I believe, so you would not be able to use those as your smart home hub. But they are also, I think, priced appropriately at $49.99 for the Dot without the clock and $59.99 for the Dot with the LED clock.
Yeah, the one with the clock has an LED clock in it.
So it looks classy next to a bed. But
I like the actual clocks because those digital clocks are just they're just classic. You know? Everybody I had use, one. Granted it was a red LED. But over time, it turned to green, or you could get white, you know, and now they've got those. So I do think the clock is very classy and cool.
I use – are you talking about the indication light? Also, we keep saying Alexa, and I know that we're assholes for that. Sorry. Are you talking about the indication light at the bottom, the assistant light, or are you talking about the clock light?
So it's not very bright at all.
Yeah, it's only lit up when you're speaking to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like my Google Mini only does when I speak to it.
I'll do my best to say virtual assistant for the rest. I forget that messes everybody's house up.
Doesn't mess mine up yet.
Yeah, so they do show, that's a good point for anyone who hasn't jumped into this. On all these photos, they show it lit up. It's only lit up when you're speaking.
Yep.
When you're interacting with it. So typically that light would not be on. It also lights up yellow when you are when you have a notification, and it lights up green when you're connected to a call.
Correct.
They announced the new Echo Dot Kids Editions, which are also balls and adorable.
Yep, they look like little animals.
They showed off a tiger and a panda. If you saw the previous Kid Editions, they were also fun and bright colored. But above that, they are... So the Echo is obviously ever evolving, but the kids edition will have the ability to do some parental control stuff the way I understand it. And they're also working on Nest Guard, which will eventually allow, I think, your Echoes will respond to your children differently as it identifies their voice. So it will give more kid-friendly answers.
Yes.
Which I think is a neat and creepy next step. So looking forward to that. Eero, I think is how it's pronounced. Eero 6
Eero.
And Pro 6, which is the Wi-Fi company that Amazon purchased, is rolling out their Wi-Fi 6 capable devices. And so these are cool for that reason alone, but they also will have a Zigbee hub built in as well, so you can use these as your smart home hub if you do decide to go with like an Echo Dot. The Eero is a mesh system Wi-Fi router, and again, these are Wi-Fi 6 supported, and so they claim to have the ability to cover 75 devices at once, and they are the entry point is $129, $200 for two, and $279 for three. So that's kind of where you can look there. They do talk about same kind of stuff you see with all the mesh systems. Eero 6 covers 1,500 square feet. Two can reach 3,000 square feet, and three would cover 5,000 square feet. The two-pack includes a Wi-Fi extender as well, and the three comes with two of those extenders. So interesting. If I didn't have the Google Wi-Fi everywhere, I would definitely consider these.
I would too. Yeah, I mean, I've got my Deco. Mm-hmm. That's what I use right now. I've been very happy with it.
I think I
need to get one more to put in my room, though.
I don't know if I'm happy with Google Wi-Fi or not. That's why.
Really?
I don't know that I'm happy. So,
how do you determine whether you need to make the move to something else, though?
Oh, I don't know. Everything's so integrated right now. You know, it's like, do I want to go through the hassle is how I determine that.
Right. Right.
So here is the one up that I have. So I bought three Wi-Fi points for a very cheap price, and they're still sealed for Google Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So I could sell those and get into this ecosystem for free.
Mm-hmm.
For what I could sell them for. But one's not enough. I'm going to need three of those too. But so you see, yes. I'm in a house that is below the 1500 square feet, the bottom one here that they list.
Right.
I have three Google Wi-Fis and my main one, and I don't have good coverage in my whole house.
Really?
With four units, which based off of this would cover 5,000 square feet. I don't have good coverage. So they are all wired. And I have good internet, so there's no excuse for me not to have good Wi-Fi coverage everywhere.
Yeah, that's an issue. I mean, that's not even, I only have one wired, and I have two, and I have a, I want to say 21 square foot house. And I've got one wired, two wireless, and I get full coverage everywhere. Yeah. Now, I do need, I think, yeah, because I have one in the middle. I have the hub in the middle of the house. Then I have one on either end of the house. And I mean, I get it pretty much in my whole yard.
Now, yeah, Wi-Fi, parts of my yard, but like my master bathroom, you just can't use Wi-Fi at all.
Wow. Yeah. Now, I do run a lot of things on it. So I do think I want to get one more of the discs for my bedroom, just because, you know, I mean, in my bedroom alone, I've got a Switch, a TV, a Google, my PS4, my printer, my PC, my phone, right now in my room.
Sorry, I didn't understand. But
that's your fault.
Do you want to know whether you can get your
fault.
PS4 up to your computer?
It was my fault.
This is why you guys, we were trying not to say the things, because this is what happens. So, and I've not dug deep enough to know what Google Wi-Fi says, because they're obviously on the new Google Wi-Fi now, and I'm on the old one. I don't know what they would say are, you know, max devices are, but I push the 40 to 50 mark all the time. So I do have a lot of devices hooked up.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, I will like tell I said, I've got eight in my room alone right now.
This is something that if you told me Amazon was having an event, I didn't think I'd care about any Wi-Fi, but I'll tell you, this is something that I found pretty interesting, and I'm definitely going to keep my eye on. Then we'll move on to the new Echo Show, which is very reminiscent of the old Echo Show combined
with
a lot different. The Facebook portal in the way that
the only difference
moves.
Is that basically the only difference between that new Echo Show and the old Echo Show is that now it spins to face you when you talk to it.
Yeah, so if you took your old Echo Show and mounted it on a device that apparently spins what they consider to be silently, it does. So unlike Google or Facebook, which has gotten a lot of grief, this does not use facial tracking to face you, to rotate. So it is using something a little more simple and using your body, from what I understand.
Yep.
It actually looks like a tablet attached to the Apple, whatever their thing is called, the Home or whatever their speaker is called.
Yeah.
It actually looks like that with a tablet stuck to it. I'm not wild about the design of this. But I don't use mine for video chatting, so this is not something that when I saw, I was like, got to get that. But with everything going on in the world right now, and they're adding the ability to chat with multiple people at the same time, so it looks kind of like a Zoom call, I think this is very smart, and I think they'll probably sell a lot of these.
I do, too.
It is $249.99. They showed off the new Fire TV devices and new interface there. I'm not going to go too deep into that because I don't think... either one of us care about that, and we're also getting kind of deep in the podcast.
Yeah, well, not just that, but I mean, they're pretty standard. And then there's one last little piece of magical, incredible goodness.
Yeah, so let
that,
me
we have to speak about.
Let me go a little out of the order here. So part of the presentation was obviously the Echo stuff and the Fire TV, and then they switched over to Ring. And so Ring showed off a couple different things. The Ring Guard is, of course, something they showed off and they're going to expand on. But Ring Guard is probably is part of their home security suite, and you can pay for monitoring, stuff like that. They're making some tweaks to that, which I think is neat. They also showed off some car stuff. So first up is the Ring Car Alarm, which is $59.99. It's a device that plugs into your OBD2 port. It's wireless components inside, allowing it to alert the owner via the Ring app of what's going on. It won't be available till 2021, but again, at $60 and not needing any other devices in order to hook up to, it's pretty neat. It'll trigger the car alarms in the event that something goes wrong. It also mentions that it can alert owners to break-ins or bumps. So it is basically like having a connected alarm if you have an older car that doesn't have that. Again, nothing else is needed. The second automotive thing they're introducing is called the Ring Car Cam. It's Amazon's version of a dash cam. I will tell you, it looks like a smartphone. It is $200. There's a blue ring around the camera lens so that you know it's recording. It does record, again, front and back. You can also, it'll also start recording automatically if there's a crash or a bump detected. If you are in a traffic stop, you can also say, assistant, I am being pulled over, and it will trigger a manual recording at any point. This is interesting. The time and place that we live in, this is maybe even more interesting than it would have been 10 years ago. I am less interested in those two things, though, than what we're about to talk about.
Oh, my God.
So if you told me, think of the craziest shit you might see in Amazon's event, and let me tell you, because I'm way into the smart home stuff, I was reading blogs leading up to this, I was reading websites, speculation, people knew some of what was coming.
Nobody knew about this thing.
I saw nobody hit this one.
Nope. Ring? I would have never said, if you would have told me the craziest shit that Amazon would come up with, I would have never guessed this. And the thing is now that they've talked about it, I can't understand why I wouldn't have guessed this.
So the product we're talking about is the Ring Always Home Camera. And that doesn't sound impressive until we tell you it's a freaking drone.
It flies, dude.
It is a drone.
It will fly. You can program this thing to fly like every hour around your house, the inside of your house, to check it out.
So it is a drone security. It is a drone security camera. It does not operate outside. It is all indoor. And It is incredible in a way that I didn't even understand would be the... This blew my mind, and no part of me ever thought this is dumb. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, this is amazing. This is future. It is a drone that you program to fly a route in your house. So like Dan was saying, if you want to take it from the garage to inside the house, if there's an open doorway to a bedroom, to a bathroom, back to your back door, whatever, you can program it to fly around on set schedules. Very cool for something like vacation. This eliminates the need to have 25 cameras inside your home. There's something creepy about cameras inside your home that don't point at doors. Like, it's one thing to have, like, I have cameras that point at my exterior doors.
Right.
It's another, like, weird thing to have a camera in your hallway. But there are times where you would like to have peace of mind.
Well, not just that, but you, I mean, it comes in handy for, say, if you have young children.
Yeah. But when I start thinking about, like, you have a camera in your hallway, like, do you have privacy in your own house then? You know, it gets weird. The cool thing about this is it flies when you tell it to. You can also trigger it to only go if there's an alarm detected. So if you're using the Ring alarm, the way they show it in the video, your back door opens, you weren't expecting it, the alarm goes off, it triggers the always home camera, aka the drone, to then fly to that area to investigate what's going on and gives you a live video feed. It is designed in such a way that when it's in its base, the camera is actually not visible, meaning it doesn't record except for when it's flying. And because it's a drone, you obviously know when it's recording because you will have the fan noise. It looks like a tiny, tiny, tiny box fan with a Ring camera doorbell shoved on the bottom of it. I'm not necessarily enamored by the design of it, but I do like the way it looks in its base, and I like the fact that it's not recording when it's put up.
Right.
And I'll tell you, this thing got me excited.
I'm excited about this, too.
I'm pretty sure it's dumb.
I don't need
this.
But
I'm into it.
I don't need this. I absolutely want this.
Yeah. I am into it. I think it comes in at an affordable price. It is $249.99. I think for a drone that freaking patrols your house, that's a good price. This is some next level shit. It is not due out till 2021. I don't see a world in which I don't buy that. I'll just tell you.
I'm pretty sure. I really want it. I'm probably going to have to do some convincing. But either that or it might be one of those, you know, beg for forgiveness, not ask for permission deals. You know.
It's so...
I already opened it. Can't take it back now. It's electronic.
It's so dumb and amazing. It really is. I love everything. To me,
yeah, this is, I get it.
So if you don't have cameras in your home and you want security or monitoring or whatever, to me, this is the most affordable option that has ever existed to cover your whole home.
Yeah, because the thing is you can use this either in conjunction with cameras you already have, or you can use it as an added step to that. So there's really nobody that this doesn't target if they're into the smart home stuff.
I mean, this would, in theory, $250 would cover your entire home with video recording. And it obviously serves a different purpose than 24/7 video recording. But the idea that this exists and is that cheap, I think is neat. Anyone worried about the safety, the blades are totally enclosed. So if you have a pet or a small child, if this thing was to crash, I assume the only thing you would have is the weight of the plastic thing touching you, which would not be impactful, I don't think, in any way.
Right.
Because they're putting a freaking drone that flies around your house, I also assume it's got a lot of sensors on it.
So that it doesn't run into people
or anything like that. But it does, based off of what you can see from the videos they released, it looks totally safe. You just mount a laser pointer on top of it, and that way when an intruder comes in at night, they think they're a goner.
Yeah, there you go. Make sure it's a red laser pointer, not a green one.
Yeah, you just put a laser pointer on motion so that as soon as it flies up, it turns the red light on so they think they're going to be murdered by an assassin drone that patrols your hallways. This is the future that I hope we live in and that I'm very excited for.
I want to be part of this future. Yep.
This blew my mind. First off, I think the event was good to start with. I think it was good before this. I think the Ring car stuff is compelling, especially right now. But man, this drone.
But when they pulled this thing out, this sealed the deal.
so ridiculous, but so neat also.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
this is a fun one. This is a fun one.
For the price, I think it's okay. And I told you this before I started, or I think I did. I've been saying this all week, but you should maybe get one of these when they come out, because I don't know how long this thing will be around. But I think it's pretty damn cool. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it might go the way of the Echo look.
It might, but if you were a part... So here's the thing. I've had Amazon kill off two products that I use that were part of the Echo, the virtual assistant.
Ooh, the look, and what was the other one?
The scanner. I don't know. It was called the wand, the Echo wand.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
So the cool thing about the wand is it has a barcode scanner on it as well. So if you're running low on whatever, you scan it, it automatically adds it to your Amazon cart or your shopping list. And so if you took the milk out of the fridge, whatever. But it was also a magnet, so I just stuck it to the front of my fridge. And in the mornings, if you're up before everybody else, you could just grab it, press the button, hold it up to your face, and then put it down. So they've killed off two devices I used. For the look, they replaced it with a Show 5, which is a much better deal.
Yep.
For me, with the Dash or with the wand, they told me I was out of luck.
Oh.
So part of me wonders if the drone was to go that way. I assume they
would.
Is it going to
be an out of luck type thing? Mm-hmm.
I did get the wand. It gave me a 5. I paid $5 for it. So.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't a huge loss, but I think it was a cool product.
I got the look and I ended up show. I got, that was a good deal.
It's a good deal. So that's it for the smart home talk. How do you feel about that? Do you feel good covering that in the news? I mean,
I do. I do feel that it has to. There has to be something new to talk about every week.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So that's not something that I think would be a regular segment, but it definitely a recurring segment.
A recurring segment when something big happens. Yeah, I agree.
As
yeah,
things
I like that.
Come out. I will tell you that my plan was fully to talk about this before Luna was even a thing. It just so happened that they made it convenient and tied it into gaming, but you could see events in the future where, you know, Samsung and Google and some of the bigger players in your smart home stuff make announcements that are obviously not gaming related. And I think that you and I are both in agreement that we'll probably want to talk about them here. And so if you don't like that, I mean, just know that we're probably going to do more of that. Sorry, not sorry, as the kids say.
Yep. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. So I was glad to cover that. I was glad to watch. I watched that event like I watch an E3 or a, like I'm, you know, I was all over the internet looking for those videos and watching.
No, I was at work, but I kept refreshing.
Yeah. So
I had to turn down all the way and kept refreshing.
But I felt the same way about that as I do about the video game stuff. And I don't think it's fair for you and I to not have those conversations because it's maybe not rooted all the way in video games. So
I agree.
A fucking drone flying around your house catching intruders is the most video game ass thing that you could have in your home. So
yep, I need
some. That thing is ridiculous in the best way. Gerald is still signing up for the Luna.
He is.
Thanks for joining us. Shout out to Zach and Thomas. Zach sent an amazing email to us, and I'm not going to share it with you guys. I think a lot of it was pretty personal for us, but I will tell you that, Zach, I will be reaching out to you soon because I like some of your ideas, as well as Dan and Gerald also liking those ideas. And I think maybe that,
we commented on them.
Maybe you might be the right person to help us with some of those, ideas. And so,
yes,
I will talk to you this hopefully coming up week, depending on what work looks like, and see, pick your brain
a little
bit.
We put that on Ryan to do that.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that and we'll go some back and forth but thank you for that email. You obviously put a lot of time and effort into that email. It's literally the longest email we've ever received.
Yeah.
A lot of
thought went into it.
Thomas sent me a funny picture this week. It's a it's HR appropriate ish. it's a cartoon. Of some gentlemen looking at OnlyFans, and it basically says, "Look at this." Uses a word that may not be appropriate right now, and then it shows them looking at a PS4, and then it shows the dude posing with the other guy taking pictures of him, as if they would never go to OnlyFans and hoe it up that much. But they saw the price of that PS5, and all of a sudden they're on board for some OnlyFans to buy the PS5. Yep. And I got a chuckle out of it.
I've seen that meme.
Yeah, I got a chuckle out of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so shout out to those guys for supporting us for a very long time. Remember, you can head over to patreon.com/GameStitch to do the same. And check out the streams. Dan is not been streaming much, but I think he's ramping up. Shirtless Dan 75. I've been streaming a lot.
I got some ideas.
I've been streaming a lot, but I'm going to ramp down probably just a little bit, maybe 4 nights, 5 nights a week, maybe even 6. I don't think 7's probably going to be a consistent thing for me, but that is twitch.tv/GameStitch. Hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to combine everything into one channel, but we're getting there. So that's it. Also, Minecraft got its VR update, so if you have PlayStation VR and want to check that out, that's available now as well. Not a news story, but cool. Anything you want to add? Is that everything?
No, I think you about covered it.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, Gerald. We appreciate you. Hope you get the Luna. Hopefully you don't get it, and I don't. But I do hope that you get one. If you do get one and I don't, maybe think about your friend. And we'll be back next week, same time, same place. Good night.
Good night.